Well, shall we turn to Matthew 13, that was read, and verses 10 to 17. Now, over the next 3 weeks, I hope to look at these parables in Matthew 13, and there are, in fact, 7 parables in total in this chapter. But before we consider any of these parables, I would like to consider our Saviour's explanation of why he spoke to the people in parables, and also his explanation of the people's response to the parables, and all that we find in this I don't know if it's unusual, but it certainly is a little bit awkward, you could say, because it's so plain speaking, and there are some difficult issues there in this passage, verses 10 to 17, but worth looking at, and there are important principles here in these verses before us. There are 2 types of hearing mentioned in essence: the hearing of the hardened unbeliever and the hearing of the receptive heart. It's speaking about what happens within our hearts, in the secrecy of our hearts. You might recall Pastor Neil Pfeiffer in the conference, he said there's a whole world within our minds and our heads, and so much goes on within us. We have our own universe, even our own cosmos inside our being, and all kinds of things are thought and planned in our mind. But also this matter of response and how we respond to the scriptures and to the truth of God. This hearing of the soul is in particular our interest this morning, this hearing of the soul. Because what we hear and how we hear it are actually quite critical. It's a very private thing, you could say, but a very important thing. It's nothing to do with somebody else. It's to do with your heart, and how we respond to the word of God is important and critical to everything about us, to our future, to this world and the world to come. So let's look first of all at the hearing of the hardened unbeliever, just briefly, before we look at the hearing of the receptive heart. And to explain the hearing of the hardened unbeliever, I want to give a brief explanation of what Christ is saying here about the parables, before we come to the actual hearing. Just a bit of background to what these verses 10 to 17 are all about. For it seems from the question of the disciples, which we see there in verse 10, where they ask him, why do you speak to the people in parables? Because they had noticed a change, it would seem, in the way the Saviour was preaching. The preaching of the Sermon on the Mount, that kind of preaching, had been replaced by the preaching of parables. And they noticed this, and they were asking the Saviour, well, why are you speaking to the people in parables? This was not the case with the disciples so much. They had more explanation. But the people had these parables, these unexplained parables in many cases. So why was the Saviour doing this? They were asking. So the Saviour explains in this passage we have before us. And it tells a lot about the nature of man's heart and also the dealings of God with man. Those 2 things we can note. Now, of course, you might think, parables, isn't that a simple way of explaining a truth? And there is some truth in that, except there's more to parables than just trying to explain a truth in a simple way. It's more to it than an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The parables of our Saviour, in particular, some of them at least, were designed for those who had ears to hear. And for those who had no ears to hear, they could not understand them. So for those who had ears to hear, it was a help and a blessing. But others would hear and be entertained by the story, but not understand. That's what our Saviour is saying. Of course, it begs the question, well, why? Why did the Saviour do that? Well, you have to understand what was going on here. Our Savior was preaching to the Jews, and the people had rejected the Savior's teaching, or more to the point, they had rejected him. There was this hardness in their heart. They were following him, but they were rejecting him. And so these parables, or at least some of these parables, were a way of cloaking great truths from hard hearts and mocking hearts. It was, in other words, as our Savior put it himself on another occasion, it was a refusal to cast pearls before swine. These things were too precious for them, and he wouldn't allow them to trample on them, not to cast pearls before swine. In other words, what was happening here in the background was this, and our Savior was carrying this out in the way he preached to them. They had hardened their hearts, and so the Savior was withdrawing in his preaching, and he also was hardening their hearts further. Now, that might seem shocking to you, but it's a principle we see in the Scriptures. Just as with Pharaoh in the time of Moses, Pharaoh, you remember, hardened his heart against the Lord. But we read, don't we, that the Lord hardened his heart. So what happened there with Pharaoh was he hardened his heart, but the Lord responded by hardening his heart further. Although our preaching is not designed to cloak the gospel, yet this principle is still there in preaching. The unbeliever is hardening the heart, and God may well harden your heart. As you harden against God, God might respond to you by hardening your heart. So it's a great warning about hardening your heart. It's a very dangerous practice. If you are in the habit of hardening your heart, it's a very dangerous thing to do, because God may well respond by hardening your heart. In other words, there's something in the gospel that keeps the dignity of God. It doesn't allow man to trample and to be a judge over God. You can't have the last word with the Almighty. And so if you become a judge and begin to harden your heart against the gospel, the Lord might well harden your heart. Now you might say, this is so unfair. I thought the gospel was the offer of free grace to all mankind, the offer of Christ and sins forgiven and all might come, and such a gracious gospel. And of course, it is that. But there is more shame to us that we should harden our hearts against this free grace and offer of free grace of the gospel. And so if you reject this gracious gospel, it's even more outrageous, and you have even less argument to protest against this hardening of the heart. If you harden your heart against the kindness of God, you can't really complain when God hardens your heart in response. Because you see, there is a judgment, and there will be a judgment. And this, in a way, is the beginning of the judgment, you could say. As the Lord begins to harden the heart of the hardened unbeliever, is the beginning of the final judgment. The judgment, the final judgment, is still to come, but it can begin on earth. And God can respond to people who reject the gospel by hardening their heart. Well, we know the grace of God is wonderful. But there is this too in the Scriptures, and it is just and is right, I suggest to you. So we must be careful how we listen, to come with tender hearts and not to come with prejudiced hearts or hard hearts. It's a very dangerous practice, rather that we might have receptive hearts. Because this truth is not any truth. This truth is the very truth of God, and the honor of receiving it, and the grace of God in Jesus Christ. There's nothing like it. Is a holy matter. And so we must be careful of how we handle these things. The Scottish people often say in their prayers, forgive our sins in holy things. And so indeed, you must be careful in holy things. That's the great message of this passage. That's the main message here in verses 10 to 17 of Matthew 13. But let's go on to the other side of the coin, and this matter of the hearing of the receptive heart. Now, this hearing of the receptive heart starts with conversion and then goes deep into the Christian life. Indeed, one of the marks of the true Christian is hearing. One of the marks of a truly converted man or woman is that he hears. and she hears. It's a mark of life. You hear. This hearing is a key thing. It's a mark of God's grace in your life. Having said that, the Christian can improve his hearing. It's instinctive, this hearing. It's part of you. But you can improve this hearing as well. And that's the subject I particularly want to touch upon maybe deal with some fundamental issues, hopefully be a help to the unbeliever too, but particularly speaking to the believer. And not just this initial hearing when we come to an awareness of God and the gospel and we believe in Jesus Christ, but also this progressive and this improved hearing. We can work upon our hearing and we can benefit so much by it. So this morning, I want to, with the time left, I want to look at some wrong ways of hearing the gospel. I trust I shan't offend you, but probably will, because all these things apply to all of us. I think all the faults of wrong hearing are in us all to some degree or other. But then I shall look at some correct ways of hearing the gospel. First of all, then, wrong ways to hear the gospel. I want to look at legalistic hearing, intellectual hearing, educational hearing, emotional hearing, an entertainment hearing, selective hearing, and so on, and a few others as well. But let's start with the first one I mentioned, legalistic hearing. Now, sometimes this trait in Christians can be born out of a good desire to obey the Word of God. It starts with a good thing, that we listen to the Word of God and we want to apply it. But there's something wrong here with a legalistic hearer. In particular, he's very rarely satisfied with a principle applied by the preacher. He wants to get down to specific examples, and in particular, he latches onto them. And the main problem here is this, that he latches on to something which can be done, something external, of course, that can be done, but out of proportion, often leaving his heart behind, but out of proportion with other things. There's something greatly out of balance with a legalistic hearer. There's something very awkward about somebody who listens legalistically. There's no softness and no heart or little heart, shall we say, involved. Now, of course, sometimes it's very necessary and needful to give examples, specifics and details. But, you know, very often when you give details and examples, it can be quite distracting. And you might go into a great controversy in your mind and think, well, I don't agree with that, or I think the preacher picked on one thing and not on another. And the heart is often left behind. Far better is to present the principle and to bring the heart along and allow the person with his voluntary spirit finding the meaning of that principle in his own life and to apply it. Otherwise, the tendency might be a list of things. And of course, that list could be out of balance. It's not very helpful, really, in the big picture. And I suggest to you, that's the way the gospel should be preached. Now and then, an example is helpful. But principles is the big thing I suggest to you. Now, of course, we're not against the legal aspects of God's word. God forbid we might become what they call antinomians, against the law of God. Rather, we love the law of God. We love the law. And we love these principles coming out of the scriptures and the law of God. And our hearts are engaged. And we take these principles from the word of God. And we seek out our own lives and apply it to our particular case. As I said in the prayer, our Savior deals with us at our point of need. And it doesn't go over our heads or around us. And the Spirit can do that when our hearts cooperate with the Spirit and can take it to our own particular case. Nobody else knows about it, but you know about it, and that word was for you. That's the best way, I suggest, not this legalistic and very limited kind of hearing. But connected with legalistic hearing is intellectual hearing. And again, this can be born out of a good thing, an emphasis on the Word of God. And indeed, we should love the Word of God and dig deep into the Word and find the gold and silver. That should be in your heart and in the church how we love the Word of God and we want to hear it preached and we come to the Bible study, we come to the services and the Word is open in our homes, the Word of God is everywhere. And we are those who are digging into the Word of God. But there can be a danger where we enjoy the difficult details more than the other matters, and particularly those details not understood by others. Kind of a pride comes in here. A satisfaction, I've understood this difficult matter. And an enjoyment, and even an entertainment, when your mind is tickled. And of course, when those preachers come along, which are more intellectual, how you love them. Because they were very much the kind of person that you enjoy hearing to. So a pride can come in, both with legalism and also with intellectual hearing, where we can hide behind godliness. And it seems so good, the Word of God is very preeminent, but really behind it is a very limited heart, a wrong kind of hearing, an intellectual hearing, and legalistic hearing. It's not what good hearing is about. Although there are elements there which are right, but it is a wrong kind of hearing in essence. Let's go on to another wrong kind of hearing, an educational hearing. Now, of course, again, it's a good thing. We want to be familiar with the Word of God in all its aspects. We want to know the parables, the prophets, and the kings and the judges. We want to know the themes of the Bible, the grace of God and election, the grace of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the atonement and understanding, righteousness, the robe of righteousness, all these things that Christ gives us through faith, understand justification by faith. We want to understand all these things. But you know, there is a kind of hearing which is a collecting kind of hearing where you're gathering information and you take an enjoyment of getting a hold of the subject. Not very different to what you might do in secular education where you might study history or some science and you're able to understand it and you have a satisfaction. You've grasped the subject and you are gathering. And, of course, every subject is a world of its own. Isn't it interesting that whatever science it might be or some of the arts, once you go into it, there's so much to it. It's a whole world of information. And how much more with the Scriptures? It is a whole world of information. It's fascinating. And you can be fascinated. And you might be a gatherer of information. Again, good thing, but if that is all, it's wrong hearing. There are lots of things missing from that kind of hearing. And then there is the emotional hearer. You might think, well, the answer to all this is our heart and our feelings. If we can feel these things, all will be right. If my heart is moved as I hear the information, well, all is right and all is well. And of course, it is not all well. There's much more, again, to correct hearing than just being moved. It could be your enjoyment, or maybe you are moved by some very moving story or example. Your heart can be moved apart from the truth, and your heart can be moved, and you can gather information, and nothing more comes of it. It doesn't change you, it doesn't affect you, has no impact upon your life, has an impact upon maybe the mind and the information and your attitude in the service, but it doesn't go much further into the rest of your life. And there are so many areas of our lives that need the influence of the Word of God and the grace of God. One more example of wrong hearing is an entertainment hearing. Now, we've covered some of these things, but it deserves a heading by itself. It's very similar to the attitude of worldly entertainment. And with some in churches, it's just that, very sadly. It's just that. They love to be entertained. As long as they're entertained and they enjoy, then all is well. But some of this entertainment attitude can creep into the heart of the sincere Christian too. And we can be satisfied when a sermon was interesting, or something new, you haven't thought about it was said, And you like that. Or something that was said you agreed with. And that's good, isn't it? Because you agree with it. And it was a very good sermon because of that. And I'm not saying these things are wrong, per se, but I'm just saying that if this is all, it's definitely wrong. Perhaps a few home truths were said, or the style of the preaching pleased you. Maybe it was a soft style, or maybe it was a strong style, and it was just what you like. The sermon moved you, perhaps. Or perhaps you were attracted by the charisma of the speaker. There was something about him. He's able to hold the congregation, and how you liked him and liked his message. Also, with nationalities, I was speaking about this with our dear friend Bob Dickey and Mary Dickey, and we both agreed that Welsh and English congregations love to hear Americans. And also, you might be interested to know that American congregations love to hear the Welsh and the English. And of course, we can love them because we love the American accent. Or in America, they love the English or the Welsh accent. Or perhaps it can be because, and this is so prevalent today, because the man is an able communicator. Different to preaching, I suggest. This is the thing today, isn't it? Able communicators. And maybe a little bit clever and a little bit humorous, just in the right proportions, and we can like it. And it comes down to enjoying. And there is an enjoyment in preaching, and it's right. But if it is just enjoying, there's a lot missing. Well, it must be more than enjoying. We're not hearing very well at all if it's all about our enjoying. There must be more about our souls in it than that. But let me go on with some more examples of wrong hearing. The selective hearing. Now, we all know that people who are hard of hearing can use it to their advantage. And it's selective hearing. They hear some things and don't hear other things. And so it can be with our souls as well. I've noticed for one thing, the heart can be so dull, even though the word is so applicable, that heart doesn't take that message to them. Even though it's so obvious that message was meant for them, yet they don't hear it. Now, that's not selective hearing per se. That's more like hard of hearing. And our congregations are so hard of hearing, aren't they? The word is so applicable. So many times, we just don't hear it. We are hard of hearing. But there is a subtlety in the heart too, and we can have selective hearing. And it's a bit like, you know, somebody who doesn't want to hear, they hum a tune. And we hum a tune in our minds, so to speak, when something is very relevant. Or we put our fingers in our ears, so to speak, when something is very relevant. We have a way of going very vague, or just maybe, oh well, and then move on. And so we can be very determined to have our own way, to be selective. And I think, yes, that's good, but I can't do it. And we don't hear. In some ways, we don't hear. And of course, there is the famous hearing for other people. You listen for what is relevant to somebody else. Oh, that was a good point. That was a good point. I hope somebody over there beside me is listening. And so we can hear in that way. And as our Saviour said, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And that should be our attitude much more when we come to hearing the word of God. And so we can go on and on. Let me give you quickly some more examples, very, very quickly. The careless hearer, who actually agrees with the word of God, but just doesn't care enough. That is so typical too, isn't it, of our days. We actually agree with it, we just don't care enough. Or the selfish hearer, who listens only for his own comfort. Now, don't get me wrong here. All of us come, don't we, to the house of God, looking for the comfort of God. And that's right. That's been quite right about it. And God does say to his prophet, you know, comfort my people. That is quite right. But if that is all there is to our hearing, it's very deficient. If we only want our own comfort. Or maybe the prejudice hearer. Oh, this is a hard one. When for some reason the person looks down or is against the preacher, perhaps they've been coloured by some criticism, it is so difficult to get around that. Once you've taken aboard a criticism of the preacher, it's very hard to listen. May the Lord help you if that is your case. May the Lord help you get round this great stumbling block. But we can be very prejudiced. Now, for example, parents can criticize the preacher in the hearing of their children. Well, those poor children, will probably never listen to the preacher. They've been prejudiced against the preacher. And what damage has been done to their ears. And so on and so on. They can be worldly and rebellious hearing. We can be antinomian against the law of God. And we're always batting off the preaching because the preaching is all about the law of God and God's commandments. And what a struggle that is between the rebellious hearer and the preacher. But often what happens is this, we reinterpret. The preacher says, we must be godly. And of course, the hearer hears, yes, I agree, we must be godly. But his interpretation of godliness is totally worldly compared with what the preacher is talking about. So we can reinterpret what has been preached so often. Oh, how we need the grace of God to correct all these faults. And there are so many other faults. I had such a list and I give up in the end. There's so many ways that we can wrongly hear the gospel and the word of God. But let's come to the correct way of hearing the gospel. And much of what we have said and condemned actually has a place, because we do believe in the preaching of the word of God and the reading of it and the studying of it. And we do so with all our heart. And then we expect when the preaching takes hold of the mind, our heart is engaged. Of course it is, naturally. We are moved. But then, of course, in consequence, the life follows into the small details. That's a summary of how the word should go into your mind, your heart, and your life. But there are a few other things about correct hearing I would like to mention. We should have a gospel hearing about us. Now, this is the foundation of all hearing, and it strikes the very heart of our passage here, where our quickened hearts believe in Jesus Christ. So you can't get around this. Do you accept Jesus Christ? Do you believe in him? Do you want to hear him? Do you want to believe in him? And have you believed in him? And this is central to hearing. All other hearing will be hardened hearing. This is the hearing which comes into the heart by God's grace. Our hearts are quickened. We believe in him. It's all about him. About him. Do we accept him? Because hearing is all about accepting him and believing in him. And now we love the gospel. Our hearing is based upon him. Not only do we love it, it's our very life. It's all about being in Christ and hearing about the gospel, but how we love the details. We love to hear the old story of Jesus and his love. And we love to hear about his person. We delight. Illustrations are helpful now and then, but always in a sermon, there is a substance. And this substance feeds our souls. We love to hear about his person. How we delight to hear the descriptions of his grace and his holiness and his mercy and all about him. And then his work, of course, on Calvary has a particular interest here, because this strikes at the very need of our hearts, which are sinful. And his blood was spilt on Calvary as the punishment of God came upon Christ in the place of men. There he suffered on the cross for men and women. And my sin was in that blood. The blood counted for me. And you're all yours. You're engaged because this is my life. This is my Savior. And his righteousness. How can I enter heaven without righteousness, without obedience? Christ has done it for me. And I believe in him. And so our hearing is centered around gospel hearing. We can never hear enough of it. And in any sermon, you would hope there would be some gospel element. It would creep in some way or another, you would hope. Sadly today, and I'm probably guilty of it myself, it doesn't creep in enough. But in revival days, it did. They couldn't utter a sentence without bringing in something of the gospel by the grace of God through Christ and his atonement. And so gospel hearing is central to it. Are you a gospel hearer? Do you hear with gospel ears? Do your ears prick up when Christ is mentioned and the cross is mentioned? Are these the things and the drink and the food of your very soul? This is true hearing. Oh, you might object. Surely I want to judge it all and in some kind of philosophical manner and assess it all. No, the Lord won't allow you to do that. Become a judge over him. He speaks directly to your heart. Accept me, believe in me, and live. And so that is our response. Indeed, that goes on to my next matter, crucial to correct hearing, humble hearing. This is an essential part of true hearing, to understand who we are, that we are not gods. We are men and women who are sinful and in great need of God. And this aspect of being teachable and being humble is crucial to true hearing. I hear sometimes people say, I only listen to the word of God. I don't follow men. Well, that's a problem, because it's through men the gospel is preached, and God has ordained that. And what you find is this, that those people who make such a point of that are the ones who don't really obey the word of God. They only want part of it. They don't like some parts of it, so therefore they have to dismiss the preacher. I don't like the message, therefore I have to damage the preacher. I don't follow men. Now, I dare say we have to be careful, but you know, there's something about the spirit of hearing, which is like, shall I say, placing yourself on the surgery table and to allow the surgeon's knife to cut into you. You know, when you have surgery, you give yourself over, don't you, to the surgeon. You allow yourself to be on that table, and he comes with his knife and he makes incisions in order to deal with the problem in the body. And so it is with the soul. We place ourselves open to the preacher and that knife, shall we say, of the word of God. Now, of course, we are mindful to make sure that this man is a true surgeon. But there's a sense we have to be careful and to know the man is biblical. But once we know this man is a servant of the Lord, there is this trust. Yes, there's always carefulness that he's been biblical, but this is elemental and fundamental trust. Here is the word of God being preached. Here's a servant of the Lord. That's the attitude. Humble, teachable. I'm sure you notice in the conference, we had many preachers in the congregations. Now, I don't have a problem in preaching to well-known preachers when they are godly men, because they listen as Christians. Many of them know so much more than me, many, many times more than me. But I know once a man comes into the pulpit and preaches the word of God as a servant of the Lord, they are there as Christians, they're listening, they're thirsty and drinking in the word of God. And that's the way we should all listen. We can humble ourselves. It is instinctive, but we can humble ourselves under the word of God. Honesty is required too when it comes to listening to preaching, to be honest with the Lord, integrity and honesty. And then this matter of thirsty hearing, where we lean into the word of God. Now, this is more than a thirst for information. This is a thirst for righteousness and a thirst for the Lord himself. As the hymn says, beyond the sacred page, we seek thee, Lord. There's something about our hearts that we are thirsty. We're longing for God, as the psalmist puts it. We long, as the heart pants for the water brooks, we long for God. And we're coming as thirsty souls, wanting the word of God and the drink of the word of God and the drink of Christ to our hearts. We are not only coming to the house of God, attending the means of grace in our bodies, but we're coming with our very hearts. Now, we can attend in our bodies, but not in our hearts. Are your hearts attending the means of grace? Have you brought your heart along this morning to the means of grace, or just your body? Or that we might listen with our very souls, with our hearts all engaged. And then there is the application hearing as well. This is part of correct hearing. Now, we touch upon this, and I try now to put it in the correct way it should be. We hear the word of God, it has touched the heart, and it finds its way into daily practice, both outward and inward. As we heard Neil Pfeiffer say in that conference address, you know, there's a whole world inside our head a whole world that should obey the word of God, not just in the externals, but in the privacy of our minds and of our thinking. We are to obey and apply the word of God in the secrecy of our minds, because the Lord sees all that. And this gospel is a genuine gospel through and through. It's not an outward act, but it's right to the very core of us. And it begins, really, true religion begins in the secrecy, doesn't it? That there we obey God. Without that, what are we? Just a facade and an act. We must be doers of the word of God, not just hearers, but doers. Even our great emblem that Jesus Christ is our Savior and Lord. Lord, notice. Savior and Lord. We obey him and we do what he says. Recently, we had the parable of the two sons, and the Pharisees said yes, but did not go to the vineyard, the parable went on to say. And then there was the example of the publicans and the harlots, who said no initially through their worldliness, but then they repented, they believed, and they went all the way to the vineyard. Yes, all the way to the vineyard, opened the doors of the vineyard, and into the vineyard they went. It is all the way, the application of the word of God. And here's the great worry, and it is a worry. Does our hearing make any difference at all? Has any difference been made to your life by the hearing of the word of God in the last 10 years, shall we say? That we might hear the word of God, I might apply it. I know it's a struggle, I know this is discouraging, but it's the right kind of discouraging. That we might apply the word of God, that we might take it in our minds and our hearts are engaged. But the next step is so crucial, that it finds its way into your life and into your mind and every part of you. It is so important, this hearing and this doing. Otherwise, it's come short and it's not true hearing. To understand it does very little good at all. To understand and feel it, again, comes short of the mark. But to understand it and feel it and to do it, it's much nearer the mark. But there's more. There is a spiritual hearing. This is very difficult to capture in words. But you know, the word of God, when it's preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, often there comes an unction on the preaching. But not just an unction on the preaching. There can be an unction on the hearing as well. And you hear with your very soul. And you're moved in that unseen power of God. It's not just being moved in your emotions, but it's something of the very presence of God in your hearing, the unction of the Holy Spirit. Let me put it like this to you. I once heard preaching, true preaching, described as aiming at a bullseye, and you can imagine the rings and then the bullseye in the middle. And of course, sometimes a preacher can aim at the mind or at the heart, the emotions, but true preaching goes right to the soul. It affects the heart and the mind, but it aims at the soul. That's what you aim at. That's true preaching. And people like our Pastor Emeritus and Lloyd-Jones were classic true preachers. And are, in the case of our Pastor Emeritus, are classic true preachers. They aim at the very soul. Now, that's all well and good. But we are holding the target. And we can move to the side. And even though it's aimed at the soul, we allow the arrow to miss our souls. But you can do the opposite, even when the preacher is not what he should be, doesn't have the unction, the power that he should have, perhaps. You can move your heart so that the arrow hits your heart. It was aimed at the mind, perhaps, or at the emotions, or in some other fallible way. But you took it to your own heart, and you made the most of it. I remember, I shan't give the name of the place, but a place that was blessed. And we went there, and the preaching was not remarkable by Welsh standards, shall we say. And we were amazed at how much the people got out of it. And I think they did just that. They took the target of their heart, and they moved it into place for the arrow to hit their heart. And they squeezed every drop out of the sermon so that they might be blessed. You know, this unctioned hearing adds a quality to your hearing, your understanding, your feeling, your doing. God is in it. That's what it means. God is in it. And God is in your heart. And you hear it with your very souls. Perhaps the highest point of hearing is a worshipping hearing, where not only do you desire to be comforted, but you desire to glorify God and to please God. That's a very elevated level of hearing, isn't it? As we desire, as we hear, to lift him up, to glorify his good name, that Christ may be exalted, and to all to please him. Not just that we might enjoy him, but we might glorify him. That is very exalted hearing indeed. And that's what we particularly should aim at. A spiritual hearing, all the other things I mentioned, but also a worshipping hearing. Our Saviour says in verses 16 and 17, what a privilege it is to hear these things. But blessed are your ears, for they see, and your ears. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, have not seen them, to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. There were prophets before us who spoke in prophecy of these things, but never saw the reality of it. By God's grace, we live in times when the fullness of the gospel has been conveyed in the scriptures. And what riches are here before us. And if we hear these things and see these things, we are blessed indeed. This is exalted matter. And that's maybe one of the things that comes out of this passage. These are exalted things. This is not any hearing. This is the hearing of the truths of a mighty God in heaven. This is the revelation of the secrets of God in sending Jesus Christ into this world to be a Saviour. This is God calling us out of the horrible pit and the miry clay and drawing us to his bosom and loving us and blessing us through Christ. These are great mysteries and wonderful things, and they're all found in Christ. And the key, as I said earlier, to all these things is you accept Christ. You love him and you believe in him. And you could say that hearing is found in Jesus Christ. Hearing is Jesus Christ, you could even say. As our pastor emeritus's hymn says, have you heard the voice of Jesus? Have you heard the voice of mercy? Have you heard the Saviour calling? Have you heard? I know I have different congregations before me here this morning. Some will be receptive hearts, some hardened hearts. Some of the receptive hearts will be those who have believed, but some will be those who have not yet believed, that you now might come and hear the voice of mercy and hear the Saviour calling, hear the voice of Jesus. And Christ, as the great shepherd and the good shepherd and the chief shepherd, knows his sheep and calls them. And the sheep hear his voice, that you might respond this morning and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The ears might be opened altogether. Maybe you were hearing in a muffled way, but now your ears are unblocked and you hear, and the voice, and you come. How we hear and what we hear are critical matters. We should attend to our hearing. Be very mindful of our hearing. Oh, this secret area of the soul, this world within you, so to speak. Pay attention to it. And especially when it meets the truth of God and Jesus Christ, that you might listen for your very life. Because the Bible is very much about the speaking of the truth. And the hearing is very much about our hearts and how we respond. Oh, may the Lord show grace to your heart. And may you be one of those that Christ says in verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Amen. Shall we pray? Our Father, our God, we trust that thou would help us with this passage. And although our hearts can be so complicated and there can be such a large, long list of mistaken hearing and faulty hearing. Oh Lord, we pray that through it all, that we might just see the simplicity of good hearing. And this might be our case, O Lord, we pray, that we might know the riches of Christ in our hearts, flowing freely and having that free course into our very souls. O Lord, come and attend to us today. Let us hear the voice of the shepherd. Let us, O Lord, as thy sheep, recognize the voice of the shepherd and know what it is to find our Saviour in the Word of God. We pray these things for thy glory and through Christ our Saviour. Amen.